Let us bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we read your word now and try to understand it, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit, Lord, upon me, upon each one of us. Lord, help us to understand, help us to be motivated to not only understand, but to apply and to follow the teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. Our reading, as Lloyd said, and thank you, Lloyd, for leading the service for us. Our reading now is in Matthew chapter 17, and it's the same story as we read in the Gospel of Mark. And it's Matthew chapter 17, starting to read at verse 14. And if you have a church Bible, I believe the page number is 984. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him. "Lord, have mercy on my son," he said. "He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him." "You unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me." Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment. Then the disciples came to Jesus in private and asked, "Why couldn't we drive it out?" He replied, "Because you have so little faith. Truly, I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." I want to confess tonight that I have a problem. And it's quite likely that it's also your problem and our problem, because it was the disciples' problem that they had so little faith. We often talk about faith, we preach about faith, we know that faith is the means by which we are saved, but so often do we realize when we look at ourselves and at our lives, "Oh, I have so little faith." Well, tonight we're going to consider this, and we're going to consider the two strange expressions, "so little faith," and the expression, "a little faith." And they mean two different things in this passage. So little faith, a little faith. A father brought his son to Jesus to be healed. We don't know the age of the boy. I don't know whether he was a young man, whether he was a small child. If it's the father that we're concentrating on, that Matthew describes and talks about, it's quite likely that he's quite a young boy or a child. And when he comes to Jesus for Jesus to do what this man has heard him do to other people, to heal his son, Jesus isn't there. He has gone up to the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And 2 weeks ago, we missed last Sunday, didn't we, because of the snow? But 2 weeks ago, we had a wonderful message on the transfiguration, on Jesus on the mountain being transfigured, being changed, some kind of light coming upon him, his face shining, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Not only his face, but his clothes even were affected. Now, Matthew would have heard this from Peter or James or John or all three of them, that they'd gone up to the mountain with Jesus to pray. When you go up to a mountain, you usually go up to have this wonderful scenery stretched out in front of you to see the sea and the rivers and the plains, it's usually a wonderful sight from the top of a mountain. But they didn't go up for that. And in fact, had they gone up for that, they would have been disappointed, because instead of looking out at the scenery, they suddenly turned to the Lord Jesus, and he was the object of their attention. This amazing thing that was happening to him. And we heard about the appearance of Elijah and Moses and all of that. I'm not going to go over that passage. Jesus is away then. The father doesn't get the child healed, so he does the next best thing. 9 disciples are left there. So he says to them, can you do anything? Now, if we turn back to Matthew chapter 10, we'll read that in verse 1, that Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and illness. And we read that they were indeed able to do that. And they came back full of wonder and amazement that ordinary men were able to do these amazing things because Jesus had given them authority. And so, I don't know which of them was the spokesman or how they did it, but they tried to exorcise the demon, to try to get rid of the demon from the boy. They tried to heal him. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. It was an abject failure. They failed. And that's why tonight's message is so important to us. When we ask ourselves, why is the church so weak? Why am I failing? Why can't we witness to people and see them being saved? Why don't we see wonderful things happening? We have a wonderful message, but the church is weak, and I am weak, and the Christians I know are weak. And if we're honest, we feel just like the disciples, that we fail time and time again. Well, tonight there are 3 things I'd like you to remember. The first section is going to be about failure. The second section, the disciples' failure. The second section is going to be about Jesus' frustration. Failure, frustration. And the third is all about faith. The faith we need, the faith we can have. The so little faith, the a little faith. So let's start with failure. Jesus had come down, was coming down now from the mountain, from that moment of heaven on earth. He came down to a scene of complete contrast. Instead of communing with his father and speaking to Elijah and Moses, he comes down the mountain, and there are the disciples, they're arguing with the scribes, and the crowd are noisy, and the scribes are gloating, they couldn't heal this boy, they couldn't do it. We read that the father says, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And in Mark's gospel, Mark says, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they see him coming. They're in this big crowd, and they see Jesus, and they're overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. It's not necessary for us to think that Jesus still had a glow and a radiance about him. There is the crowd. And suddenly Jesus is coming. Oh, they're all running to meet him. And this was a real contrast. And what does the father say? And it's interesting that we're doing this passage tonight. Matthew is concentrating on the father. It's the father who asks. It's the father who speaks and is asked about faith later. And he came, he approached Jesus out of the crowd and knelt before him. Lord, have mercy on my son. There is an attitude of supplication and humility and a sense that he's in the presence of the Lord Jesus, who is Lord, and he believes that Jesus can heal, but will he have mercy upon my son? And so he describes the condition. He has seizures and is suffering greatly. He falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Now, both Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell this story, and they all have different things that they've noticed and comment on. The sick young man or the sick boy has epileptic seizures. He is suffering, so he's in pain. He falls, he's in danger to himself when these things happen to him. Luke and Mark say he foams at the mouth. He grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. Luke says he screams. And Mark adds that he was deaf and dumb. And to cap it all, we're told what the cause was, that he had an evil spirit. Now, let me pause here and a word of caution. We've been talking about medical conditions, and not all of these medical conditions are caused by an evil spirit. And the New Testament distinguishes between possession by an evil spirit and a person who is unwell, who is ill. We read that with some they are healed, and with others the evil spirit is cast out. Not every epilepsy is caused by an evil spirit, any more than a person who is deaf or dumb. It's caused by an evil spirit. So a word of caution, please. But the cause in this young man's case was the demon possession. When the demon was cast out, he was healed of those other matters. We read about evil spirits in the Old Testament. Do you remember King Saul? An evil spirit would come to trouble him, and David would play the harp to soothe him. And then one day Saul throws a javelin at him, because the evil spirit and Satan is a murderer, Jesus tells us. He likes to kill, he likes to destroy. And in this case, this young man was in danger from the evil spirit. And most importantly of all, because I asked the question, and one should ask questions, is it that this was a primitive age? They didn't understand these things and therefore thought that it was an evil spirit, when in fact it was merely a medical condition. But we read that Jesus healed by rebuking the demon. In verse 18, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed at that moment. And in Mark we read that when the boy was brought to Jesus, the evil spirit shrieked, knew what was going to happen, no doubt, as other people suffering from demon possession experienced. Now, demon possession is a condition in which an evil personality foreign to the person has taken control of the individual, says William Hendrickson, the Bible scholar. Can I just add a warning here? Let's not dabble with the occult. Let's not put ourselves in danger. People go to seances thinking they're innocent or they're fun. Look at horoscopes. In the Old Testament, there are warnings against witchcraft and necromancy and all the kinds of spirit work. I'm going to leave that there now because I want to speak about what the Lord Jesus can do and does. So failure, and let's confess, we fail. We all know all about failure. We could stand with those disciples and we could say, no, we're too weak, we can't do it. We fail. Not necessarily this kind of situation, but all kinds of situations where there are problems and issues and we feel, I can't cope with that, I can't help, I can't pray, or my prayer doesn't work. There's no answer to prayer. I fail. And Jesus says this secondly then. We look at frustration. Jesus says in verse 17, you unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. The Lord Jesus expresses his indignation, his pain. He's come down from a place where glory was glimpsed. And he's come down to a place of failure and sickness and disease and spirit possession. And he sees, well, what does he see? He sees the scribes, teachers of the law, arguing, no doubt mocking the efforts of the disciples, making fun of them because they couldn't heal this boy. Critical. Mark chapter 9, large crowd, and the teachers of the law were arguing with them, gloating over their impotence, their inability to help this person. We have that today, don't we? We have very learned critics of the church. They don't do anything themselves to try and lead and help people, but they're critical of Christian things, critical of the disciples, critical of the efforts of true believers. And then the crowd, Jesus sees the crowd. The crowd always like to be where it's at. If something's happening, there'll be a crowd there. If there's a spectacle to see, they'll be there. They see Jesus coming down there. They run to see. Now we'll see something. There's no effort on the crowd, no commitment, no involvement. They're just spectators. They're like people on Facebook, like, and just mean. What does it mean? Well, they are spectators. They're not involved. Let's see what happens. We're not going to do anything, but let's see what's going on here. And then the disciples, the true followers of the Lord Jesus, they worked hard. They were dismayed by failure. They were distracted by the scribes and the arguments, and they gave up. They were shocked. They saw little fruit. They had been given authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Who is Jesus talking about? Well, he's talking about the generation. He's talking about the age. He's talking about people generally. He's not singling out his disciples for criticism. He's not particularly pointing at one or other. There is little or no faith to heal and help this boy. And it's interesting that he says, how long shall I stay with you? Because he is considering his departure from this world, isn't he? He's been with Elijah and Moses speaking about his exodus from the world into heaven. How long shall I put up with you? And this is righteous frustration. We get frustrated for all the wrong reasons. Usually it's very sinful frustration on our part. But Jesus was right in being frustrated at the lack of faith. And at the same time, in wonderful love, he says, bring the boy to me. He shows his mercy and his power and his pity towards the individual. And he rebuked the demon, and it came out of the boy, and he was healed at that moment, instantaneously. After expressing his frustration and disappointment with the generation and their lack of faith, he sees the boy, he hears the father, he sees the father's circumstance. Now, dear friend, are you discouraged by failure? Look to Jesus and be encouraged by his tender love towards individuals. Like the boy's father, call for his mercy and his pity. In Mark chapter 9, we read that Jesus took him by the hand, the boy, and lifted him up. Jesus is prepared to be involved and to show his love and affection and care towards this child. So we've looked at failure, we've touched on frustration, and what about where I started? So little faith, a little faith. Well, the disciples wanted to try and understand. All credit to them. They go away, they're walking with Jesus. We read that in privately, they didn't ask him at that moment, but the disciples, verse 19, came to Jesus in private and asked, why couldn't we drive it out? Mark says in verse 28 of chapter 9, after Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? And Jesus has given two answers, and yet it's one answer. He has said, he replied, because you have so little faith. You and I need to have private conversations with Jesus. We need to pray and to ask why we have so little faith. Will he increase our faith? Why won't people believe when I speak to them about my testimony and about the gospel? Why do I commit sins, and often the same sins? Why do we have so little effect in the community? What's wrong? Why aren't people rushing to hear the good news about Jesus Christ? So little faith. And it seems to me that Jesus said, you have so little faith. Had they given up? Had they started arguing? Churches can be like this. Give up on evangelistic work to argue about theology and about this, that, and the other. Distracted in their work. This expression, so little faith, is used in other places. Jesus said this about Matthew chapter 6. You shouldn't be anxious and worry. God clothes the flowers of the field. You so little faith. So anxiety, worry shows we have too little faith, so little faith. When the storm came on the Sea of Galilee, they went and woke Jesus, who was sleeping, and he said, oh, you have little faith, so little faith. And when they saw the crowds and didn't know how they'd be fed, he said, haven't you seen the miracle of the 5,000 and the 4,000? Oh, you have so little faith. And then he goes on to say, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. They seem contradictory. They seem inconsistent. You have so little faith. Well, does that suggest they have some faith at all? And then he says, if you've just got a little faith, and the way I see this is this, that it isn't how much faith we've got, but whether that faith is real, whether that faith is true, as Lloyd said, in a great Saviour, in a great God. Do we have that grain of mustard seed? Do we have faith to believe? And the seeming impossible can happen. Now, we're not in the business of praying to move mountains. Or are we? An illustration is an illustration. And Jesus is saying to them, nothing is impossible with God. Nothing is impossible. It may look like a mountain to you, but God can move it when you pray and when you have faith. So in this passage, he speaks of faith. And in the other passage, Mark has cottoned on that Jesus is talking about prayer. But it's not a different message, is it? Because we pray in faith. This kind can come out only by prayer. That's faith. In some versions, not in the oldest version, the word and fasting, by prayer and fasting. And Matthew Henry says this, fasting puts an edge on prayer. It makes you concentrate on prayer. Now, just before I close, can I remind you of the Apostle Paul saying this in Romans? He reminds us how weak we are in prayer. And he says we don't know what to pray for. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Spirit helps us, he says, in our weakness. So let's ask ourselves the question tonight, so little faith, is that true of me? Is it really saying that I have no faith? And a little faith. Jesus says, have a little faith and you can move mountains. I urge you tonight to have faith in the Lord Jesus, saving faith, in his atoning sacrificial death for you and me. Have faith that you can be forgiven. Faith that he will take you safely to heaven. Faith that he's interceding now for us. Faith that he will hear prayers that we ask according to God's will for other people, for the church, and for our society and world. Only a little faith is needed, but it must be real, true faith.